Good evening, and welcome to You Heard It Here First. I'm your announcer, Bob Dutton. You're in for a wonderful program as we give you You Heard It Here First as the on-the-air radio players present three original scripts, the winners in our second annual script writing contest. Our first show is You Don't Know Jack, written by Dave Carley. Dave hails from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, has had his radio and stage plays produced in Canada, the U.S., Europe, and Australia. Here now, the on-the-air radio players. It's almost midnight, one of those muggy Toronto evenings when you can practically see your breath, except it's dark outside.
What happened?
Hey,
where am I?
Badger.
Where did that donut shop come from?
As I was saying, it's a steamy night in Toronto, and you can smell the consequences, like the sweat pouring down a policeman's brow.
We won't keep all the narration.
Why not? Is it me? Because I can change things up. You want it more film noir, like the sweat pouring down a politician's brow?
That's exactly how I heard it when I wrote it.
And too many words, Don. They mess up the message.
I think I know how to use words. I am a poet.
God save me. Shireen, give me some sound effects. Cue the sirens.
I don't know how that happened. Everybody okay? Yeah, good. What? You telling me this donut shop isn't a drive-thru?
You're all right, Jack.
You don't know Jack. The story of a politician's fall from grace and his subsequent rehabilitation via the magic of radio and rap music.
We're not World Vision.
But you were just complaining about too much film noir.
This is a show about selling things. I need energy. Think hockey night in Canada.
The brief agency produces hard-hitting ads that knock people out with their messages.
Now pull it back 50%.
Check out a day in the life at the brief agency. Right now.
Morning, Don.
Hi, Shireen.
How was your weekend?
Quiet.
Is the boss here?
Jason's in the studio plugging the air vents. He said you were complaining about music.
Good.
Except now our air conditioning won't work. You really hear music, eh? Because I
don't. Don, Rumors opens at noon, and if we're recording The Voice anytime after that, we always end up with Lady Gaga in the mix.
Hi, Shireen. Good weekend?
Dull.
Dull is good. Karen and I have three more weeks of dull before baby.
I've written poems about it. Fecundity, the excitement of childbirth.
Spoken just like a man with no kids.
I hear a complaint coming.
Karen made me paint all weekend, the nursery.
Again?
One wall pink, one wall blue.
It's ridiculous you don't know the gender.
Hey, the excitement of childbirth.
Speaking of excitement, did you hear about the mayor?
Jack Badger?
It's all over the news.
He didn't die?
No, he drove into a Krispy Kreme last night.
And then a reporter and a camera showed up.
Patrons of a Krispy Kreme in Midtown Toronto got more than their usual donut holes and double-double when Mayor Jack Badger came calling this evening. Mayor Badger, can you make a statement?
I can always make a statement, dear.
We're on tape. I'm wondering what you were doing out so late.
What? You're thinking it was past my bedtime? Because that's a little ageist, don't you think? But look, why don't we go inside, sit down, and have a coffee? Pretty little thing like you needs her coffee.
Well, good on him for sticking it to the media. So, guys, I guess we better have a staff meeting. My office?
Let's just stay out here.
Your office is so stuffy since you closed the vents.
So, guys, not a lot of work in the in tray.
Still no word on those government lottery spots?
Nah, nothing from the car people either. I'm meeting with that Shakespeare festival on Wednesday, but apart from that, there's some IDs and station imaging for Country 109.
That's all?
Yeah.
Not good.
So, deja vu all over again. I'm giving you your two-week notice.
You do that every week.
That's what deja vu means?
You said that last week.
Hopefully this notice is just a formality, but if nothing comes in...
Do you have any plans?
This is where you tell us how you ran your station back on the holy isle of St. Duff's.
Back in St. Duff's, if I needed to get some advertisers for the station, I'd walk out the front door and go store to store.
Our situation is more dire, especially since I had to let our web designer go. We're limited in what we offer. Don, you're a poet among copywriters.
Aww.
And Shireen, you're a wizard in the studio, but folks want Twitter and websites.
Well, it might be time for you to get more flexible.
I tried learning the web stuff. I'm 40.
I mean, flexible is in marketing.
I had great contacts when I was at Leo Burnett, but after a while, even the best contacts dry up.
You have to cold call. Look, Jason, I can help. I mean, it's not like I'm going to mix any ads this week.
Or we could pray.
I don't approve of prayer.
I don't approve of being unemployed.
I suppose back on St. Duff's when the mangoes weren't moving, you'd pray.
At this point, I'm open to anything.
How much do we need? It helps it's a prayer specific.
How about a contract for $10,000? That'd pay the back rent, your salaries, and tide us over till the government's next stimulus package starts up.
I can ask for more.
Don't push your luck.
Dear Lord, on behalf of the brief agency, I humbly ask that you send us a sign of your love in the shape of a contract not worth than $10,000 in return for which none of us will swear for 3 months. Amen.
Not swear?
Barter system. The air gets pretty blue in here. Besides, you'll have to stop swearing when baby arrives.
Hey, anybody here?
Holy Toledo, is that who I think it is?
Gosh, speak of the devil, that's...
Jack Badger. What's he doing here? Welcome to the brief agency. I'm Jason Moretti, the president.
Those stairs are a killer, Jack Badger.
Yes, yes, I know. This is Donald Pencer, my head copywriter, and Shireen Johns, my sound engineer.
Shireen. Lovely name, Shireen. Hey, what's that sordid place downstairs?
Rumors. It's a bar.
Why don't you have your own entrance?
Well, sir, this is an honor. Please come into my office. Shireen, could you run downstairs and get us some coffee? We're being flexible.
Maybe Shireen could pray for coffee.
How do you take it, sir?
Black, of course.
Thank you, Shireen. Don, we need those federal government ads written by noon. Mr. Mayor, please come this way, my office.
I'm in a jam, Jason. I had a driving malfunction last night.
Yes, I heard. I'm sorry. You're okay?
The donut shop got the worst of it. Don't even know how it happened. I guess I fell asleep. Happens. But, of course, right after the collision, guess who shows up? The media. Tough blonde girl asking tough blonde questions. Like, what's an old guy like me doing up past 8 p.m.? So I put my foot in it. Well, all I can say is if it takes driving into a Krispy Kreme to meet a lady with such great legs, bring on the donuts.
That's an inappropriate comment, Mayor Badger.
Then wear pants.
And it was caught on camera?
Well, I was in shock.
How did a TV crew happen to be there anyway?
I'd been at a restaurant having dinner with some donors, and they followed me. Now the TV's making a big thing about it. Badger stays out late with bad company. Badger's a bad driver. Badger's sexist. Heck, bad company, bad driving, and being sexist used to be a prerequisite for holding public office. And as you know, I'm coming up for re-election.
We do a lot of election promos.
I want to saturate the airwaves with ads.
Well, you've come to the right place. I can give you a quick audio tour of some of our major campaigns.
Forget that. You're hired. You want to know the best ad I ever heard? That Bulgaria one you did.
Visit beautiful, bloody Bulgaria. Let us sink our teeth into you.
Sheer genius. Who'd have thought you could sell tourism to some country by saying it's a great place to lose blood? I need you to do for me what you did for Bulgaria.
No problem, sir. You're an established brand, a lifetime in public service. You've been on Oprah.
North America's oldest politician. I met the Pope. I got the Order of Canada.
We'll do radio, of course, but what about Facebook, Twitter, all the social networking angles? Do you have a website?
Sure, sure, but don't make me out to be a saint.
But
portray me as a member of an oppressed minority.
Really?
I'm 88. That's a minority. I'm totally oppressed. People talk louder to me. Beautiful women come up to me in restaurants and pat me on the head. I don't want to be patted on the head. I want to be patted on the buttocks. I've got great buttocks. The wife can balance her pill bottles on my buttocks.
Okay. A complete campaign taking on ageist attitudes. We can do that. We need to talk price. I should warn you, we are quite expensive.
Give me a quote.
$10,000.
Deal.
Deal?
I'll go downstairs and get the cash out of my car, and I'll meet you in the bar downstairs.
Shireen, Don, meet our newest client. You can forget about that two-week thing I mentioned earlier.
I'm a big fan, sir.
Great to have you on board. Here's your coffee.
Thank you, dear. I'll take it downstairs and add a wee drop of something Scottish.
Don will be writing the copy for your ads, and Shireen is the wizard who produces radio magic.
I'll be very interested to hear how you make radio magic, sugar. Perhaps I can sit in on the studio session with you. Better yet, you can educate me over a drink later.
I don't drink.
Flexible, Shireen, flexible.
You've a lovely accent. Where are you from?
Clinton Street.
I mean, where?
Where it meets Third Avenue.
What island?
Most recently, I went with friends on a picnic to Toronto Island.
Shireen, I can give you 10,000 reasons why you might want
She's from St. Duff.
Where's that?
Shireen?
Turn right to Jamaica, second island on your right.
Fascinating. Well, I'm thirsty. What's the name of that sordid bar downstairs?
Rumors with a Z. Sir, I should warn you, it's kind of a gay bar.
Gays are just another oppressed minority. We've got 45 gay bars in Toronto, and I hardly drink any place else. They appreciate my backside.
Well, Rumors doesn't open till noon.
If the owner's there, he'll serve you.
Heaven, my baby.
That's my wife's ring. Karen?
Guess what? Labor pains.
No way.
I'm thinking Braxton Hicks.
Braxton what?
If you'd ever come to prenatal with me, Braxton Hicks means false alarm. But in prenatal, they said I still should check. I gotta go. The bus will be along in 10.
Might be a good time to splurge on a cab.
No money in the house?
There's a 20 in my hockey bag.
Why?
Because I knew you'd never dare look there. Side pocket, Karen. I'm leaving right now.
Okay, yeah. See ya.
Karen's got labor pains.
Probably just Braxton Hicks.
How'd you know about that?
I did a lot of research. Fecundity, remember?
Can you guys get on the badger thing while I'm gone?
But wait, how do I sell him? He's corrupt, he's old, he's sexist, he's got a drinking problem.
None of that is proven. But yes, it has to be addressed, especially the age.
Just go, I'll help Don.
I don't need help, just a little direction.
Just remember, none of us thought we could do an ad campaign for Bulgaria, and we triumphed.
Badger is no Bulgaria.
Exactly. Bulgaria was a lead pipe cinch. If we could suggest that Jack was a vampire, we'd be made in the shade, but he's not a vampire, he's a politician.
Same thing.
Don, that's beneath you. Jack Badger is your greatest challenge. If you can promote him successfully, you'll be making an ironic statement on the collapse of ethics in elected officials. In effect, you'll be deconstructing the political ad and making a Chomsky-esque commentary on the media, our collusion, his collusion, his collision. This is big, Don, big.
Ooh, well, when you put it like that.
Your finest hour as a writer.
Heaven, my baby, what
that's
a
Karen,
lovely
Karen.
Way to say.
Excuse me. What's up?
Your hockey bag is a dank and dangerous place.
You find the 20?
No, but there was a subway token on your dresser. I'll take transit. Jason, there's something I haven't told you.
What?
I have to tell you in person, at the hospital.
Honey, it's going to be fine, whatever it is.
I'm gonna quote you on that.
On my way, love you.
Got a second?
No.
It's important.
So's becoming a dad. You got 1 minute.
I've already got a concept. We do a series of spots, starting with Jack hitting the bottom. I'm ripping off the Tiger Woods thing here. First, they did the ad where you just looked at his face and his dead father was doing a voiceover saying, "What were you thinking?"
I'm guessing Badger's dad died before there were audio tapes.
Oh, then we use his granddaughter. How poignant is that?
Badger's too old for that kind of public abasement. He is, however, very conscious that being 88 is a liability in our youth-obsessed culture. We should try to diffuse that somehow.
Roy just called. He wants to see you downstairs.
My wife's in labor and I've got to run.
Roy is ticked and we owe him rent.
I'll stop in on my way out. Joy, this has got to be fast. Karen's in labor.
Sure, but first, that old guy at the bar. That's Jack Badger, right?
Yeah.
Thought so.
He wanted a drink.
It's 10 a.m. I'm not supposed to be serving.
He's a politician. You're probably safe.
I'm no fan of City Hall. I've been trying to get a patio license for 2 years, and it's red tape up the yin-yang. You doing business with Badger?
Yeah.
Business as in money.
Uh-huh.
Because that brings me to my big question. When do I get my rent? You owe me 3 months. Sorry, Jace. I've got a wife and kids and a monster home in the suburbs with a monster mortgage.
How much do I owe?
$12,000.
What if I can get you a patio license?
You can do that?
Maybe.
You get me a patio license, I call us even at 10.
Done. Now you go get him a drink while I get that license, Roy.
Jason, take a load off. You look stressed.
My wife's in labor.
Well, so what are you doing here? I can take the cash up to Shireen.
Well, I'm wondering if I can ask for a little add-on to our deal. Any chance you can get Rumors a patio license?
No problem. I've got some spray paint in the car. We can go mark off a patio right now. Hey, hey, here's the bell of St. Duff's.
Jason, your wife called again and she says take your time.
The pains have stopped?
No, but she's making a pit stop on the way. You can blame something Don just told her.
Brief agency, Don Pender speaking.
Don, it's Karen. Where's Jason? His cell went to answer.
He's downstairs clearing something up with the landlord. Hey, did you have a good breakfast?
Just toast. Why?
They won't let you eat once you get to the hospital. Not till you give birth and then it's hospital food. You know, I hate giving advice, but if I was having a baby, I'd pig out before checking in.
I don't have any money.
Martin's, produce section.
Really?
Just graze through the fruits and veggies and hot-foot it out. And Karen, about the miracle of birth, there's no need to be frightened.
Why would I be frightened?
Exactly, why be frightened?
Well, I don't know why you brought it up.
Forget I did. Go, 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 go eat.
So I should go upstairs and wait for Karen to call.
Yes.
I'll need someone to help me mark out that patio.
Shireen, you good with spray cans?
Is this more flexible job description?
Please, and thanks.
So, take a load off, Shireen. Tell me about life on St. Duff's.
I'm back. Apparently somebody told Karen to stop and eat before giving birth.
Always best to have your babies at home with a doula and a full fridge.
All yours have been home births. What do you know? You don't have any kids.
Having my baby.
Karen
what
again.
A lovely way.
Where are you?
Martin's, the produce section, ironically. The manager was about to arrest me for stealing food, but my water just broke. So now he's calling an ambulance instead. You had better hurry.
Okay, okay, I'm heading out. Stay calm.
Oh, you stay calm.
Let's both stay calm. Love you.
Good luck, and don't worry about the Badger ad.
I'm gonna be a dad. Woohoo! I'm out of here. Karen's on labor. You're minding the fort, Shireen.
So, let's mark out a nice big patio, shall we, Shireen?
Why are you adding that circle?
For you and me, our own little island of St. Duff's.
Aw, that's kind of sweet.
This is where most women pat me on the head.
Hi, Shireen. Hey, these radio spots for Badger aren't going to be easy. Once again, we're selling the unsellable.
But it's our job. And who are we to judge? I mean, the voters obviously love him. Or did. And he's cute.
He was hitting on you.
Oh, I don't mind. We had fun marking out the patio.
Where is he anyway?
Downstairs in Rumors.
It would be cool if we could just surprise Jason with a finished ad.
What if we deal with Jack's shortcomings head on? Like, make them a positive?
Like, if he's old enough to be bad, he's young enough to be your mayor.
Equate bad behavior with suitability to hold public office.
That's where Jason was heading. What kind of sound do you hear? How do we make Badger sound bad?
Rap. And Jack should be the one doing it.
Jack Badger rapping?
Well, you never know. Why don't I go get him and we'll see?
Oh, wow, honey.
Oh, is it okay? Toes and fingers and...
Oh, yeah, it's perfect. It's a little girl, a little baby girl.
Excuse me, move back, sir. The second one's coming fast.
What?
The second one.
Another baby?
Sorry, Jason. I meant to tell you.
My grandson raps. Maybe he's my great-grandson. And he walks around all day going...
Great. Just do whatever comes to mind. Use Don's words there and play around with them. Stand a bit closer to the mic. Can you say something to me for levels?
Shireen, Shireen, prettiest gal I've ever seen.
Good. Perfect. Okay. Let's go with the first line.
I'm Jack, Jack, and I ain't whack. Is that what you want?
Brilliant. Maybe just a bit more push to it.
Push?
Push. Go for it, Jack. Push!
Push! Push! Yes, honey, it's a boy, a perfect baby boy, a girl and a boy.
A boy.
That's all right, no more.
Just the two. Are you mad?
Of course not, but I just realized why you made me paint the bedroom pink and blue.
You really aren't mad.
No, but you really should have told me.
Well, you've been so stressed about work, I couldn't add another baby to your plate.
It's mixed, Don. Come have a listen.
That was fast.
So here goes, hip and career enhancing.
Jack may be old, Jack may be square, but he's got the stones to be your mayor.
I'm going to do it sad, because this session is finished. But then end it on a note of hope, because someone someday is going to walk through the agency door and we'll have another ad to do.
Knock wood.
And that's a wrap. See you next week. Good night. Drive home safely and stay out of donut shops.
Enough.
You've just heard You Don't Know Jack, the third place winner in the second annual OTARP scriptwriting contest. Up next, we'll skip forward 6 months and cool down about 60 degrees for our second place winner, The Nick Files, Lost Claws. This script was written by Dan Fiorello from Staten Island, New York. Dan has written for Prairie Home Companion, Mad, Cracked, and All Star Radio.
In a town that likes to keep its secrets, one man makes it his job to find them out and keep them handy. That man is Nick Fleber, Private Eye, and where he keeps them is called the Nick Files.
Hey, Nick, what can I get you?
Give me a beer, Sam.
That's it, Nick? Aren't you going to try and get into the holiday spirit?
Okay, put a sprig of holly in it. Send it up to my office, why don't you? All this holiday cheer is bumming me out. Goodwill towards man? Not in this town, brother. Times were tough and the people were tougher. And I needed a case. Certainly not my rush season. But then, it was my own doing. Or should I say undoing. The Barlow case didn't help much. I was supposed to rescue the Barlow's son. Ran off with some cult religion thing. Worshipped Jimmy Dean. Not the 50s actor. The singer who made the pork sausages. Anyways, I got the kid. No problem. Started the deprogramming with the parents. Make a long story short, the Barlows wind up joining the cult with the kid. Makes you wonder. Tried to pay my fee in breakfast links. I was all set to enter a career in air conditioning repair when there was a knock at the door.
Come in.
He stepped into the room, but you really couldn't tell if he was there. He was a short guy, about 4 foot nothing, knee high to a knee high. He was dressed in a hooded parka, wearing earmuffs and pointy shoes. I reached into my pocket for change. Sorry, kid. All I have is some loose change.
What?
You collecting for UNICEF or something?
No.
Not Carolyn, right?
Right.
What do you want?
I'm in need of your services.
You want to hire me? What's the deal?
Missing person, sir.
Your parents?
No, my employer.
I see. I had no idea what was going on. Now then, your boss is missing.
That's right.
Been to see the police?
Can't.
Why not?
We must avoid publicity.
Big shot?
I'll say.
Okay, let's get down to brass tacks. We'll just open a file on you. Excuse me while I power this thing up. Now then, Mr.
Tweedle.
So your boss is a big shot, Mr. Tweedle?
No, just Tweedle.
Tweedle, huh? How do you spell that?
With one Weedle.
Okay, Tweedle, what's your boss's name?
Claus.
C-L-A-U Claus.
Yes, Santa.
S-A-N Santa. Santa. Santa Claus.
Yes, you heard of him?
Yeah, you might say the name rings a jingle bell.
Good. You don't know how hard it's been.
Right. Who sent you here? McCormick, right? This is something those morons at Pinkerton would do.
Who's McCormick?
Okay, cut it. Gag's over. You done good. Now you can go on back to McCormick and get your money.
Mr. Flabber, I'm serious.
Okay, fine, but look, Tweedle, if that's your real name, right up front I should tell you my fee is $500 a day plus expenses.
We assumed as much, Mr. Flabber. Is $2,000 enough as a retainer?
The half pint flashed a wad of bills that would choke a polar bear. The expression, boing, leapt to mind. That would about do it. If this was a case, I'd take it. My landlord would have wanted it that way. Sure, it sounded like an elaborate April Fool's gag, but this wasn't April. Besides, it's like my old man always said, never refuse a midget with money. So, Tweedle, your boss is missing.
He just disappeared.
When was the last time you saw him?
Day before yesterday.
Day before yesterday. Why'd you wait so long to act?
We really didn't know how to handle it. We couldn't possibly report it to the authorities. Can you imagine what would happen if word leaked out Santa Claus was missing?
Boggles the mind.
Yes, and 'tis supposed to be the season to be jolly. We were simply at a loss as what actions to take until I thought of hiring a private eye.
Seems like a long shot.
I know, but this isn't just any 12th day of Christmas, you know.
Where was he last seen?
The North Pole.
Of course. I'll tell you right off, it's a little difficult to work this case from here. I mean, what with it happening at the North Pole?
I realize that. That's why we've made arrangements to bring you there now, if it's convenient.
Sure, what the hell? I came this far, right? How do we get there? Magic carpet?
Our private jet is at the airport.
Lead on. You got somebody to fly us there?
Hopsy the Elf.
He's a licensed pilot?
Hopsy's the best, Mr. Flabber. He's been flying since he was 9.
Piper Cubs?
Reindeer.
Why do I keep asking these questions? Before you could say hi-ho, hi-ho, we were winging our way north as north could be. This was it, the North Pole, not the bogus magnetic North Pole, the real McCoy. I'm on top of the world, Ma.
Excuse me.
Nothing. Who's that hobbit there?
Well, that's Bubba. He's an elf. He brought our dog sled.
Hey, y'all.
What's with the accent?
Bubba's originally from the South Pole. Get in, Mr. Flabber.
In that? A dog sled?
Best way around. Quick and environmentally safe. And boy, do we clean up on the carbon cap in trades. It's not far.
When in Nome, we mushed on over to a gingerbread-style house trimmed in red and green. It looked good enough to eat. It was Big Red's base of operations. Tweedle led me inside. So what now? Do you take me to your pot of gold?
I'm going to bring you in to see Miss Claus, right through this door to the sitting room.
It may have been the door to the sitting room, but it was also the door to my heart, or one of my other organs. She stood there aglow, this blonde Nordic goddess, a woman whose looks could wreak havoc with the metabolism of a lesser man, yet beaming with the innocence of a child.
You must be the detective.
Yeah, how's it hanging?
By the chimney with care. Why do you ask?
It's just an expression.
Do you think you'll be able to find my father?
Your father?
Yes, Father Christmas.
So, Jelly Belly had a daughter. This would certainly stop the presses down at People Magazine. Yeah, I'm the man, Nick Fleber. I'm a private investigator. The gnome came down and hired me.
Oh, you mean the elf?
I guess I do.
I'm Sandra Claus. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Ditto.
Can I get you something? Eggnog? Sarsaparilla?
Eggnog. Sure, heavy on the nog.
Have you had any success?
Well, I only just arrived, and it's just too early to tell.
We've all been terribly upset by this. The workshop has all been shut down, and here it is, our busy season.
I know this is hard on you, doll, but these questions have to be asked if I'm going to begin my investigation.
I understand.
Have you known Santa to go off without warning for any amount of time?
Not but once a year, and hardly without warning.
Of course. Miss Claus, please don't take offense, but I'm just trying to touch the bases on this deal here. Is it possible Mr. Claus was seeing anyone?
Whatever do you mean?
You know, a girlfriend.
Oh, I hardly think so, Mr. Fleber.
The man's a saint. See? His certificate is hanging on the wall there.
It had to be asked. Frankly, I'm hard put to say what happened. It is possible that he may have had an accident or wandered off.
Oh, saints preserve us!
I have to make you aware of all the possibilities.
I understand. I hope you are mistaken.
So do I, ma'am. Yo, Half Pint, tell me what happened.
He left the workshop to check on the generator and he never came back.
Anything else missing?
A miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer.
9 reindeer, Tweedle. You never recall the most famous reindeer of all.
Oh, that's just a lot of hype.
Did your father have any enemies to speak of?
Oh, just the kids who get coal in their stockings.
We found this in the stable. It's a receipt from a store called Bi-Mart.
I've heard of them. Their slogan is, satisfaction almost.
Yes. We've gotten some nasty mail from the president of Bi-Mart over the years.
We think he really hates Christmas.
Really? Why do you think he hates Christmas?
His name is Ebenezer J. Grinch.
Fair assumption. I couldn't help feeling it was all a dream. Or maybe I had taken some powerful mind-altering drugs which would produce these effects. Then I remembered, I can't afford any powerful mind-altering drugs.
What do you think, Mr. Fleber?
Call me Nick. All these formalities are making me edgy. Only one man ever called me Mr., and I had to shoot him.
Oh, gosh. Sure thing, Nick. What if we can't get Santa back in time?
There is an old contingency plan we drew up years ago. However, I can't imagine anyone getting much excited about the arrival of the delivery man.
He'll be back and safe in plenty of time. Don't you worry your pretty little head about that. Nick Fleber's on the job. I don't know why I said that. I get real cocky sometimes. Truth is, I still didn't know what was going on, really. Must have been the eggnog talking.
Tomorrow is Christmas Eve!
Which means in the race against time, the clock is pulling ahead. I'd better get the lead out.
It's not much time, Miss Claus.
I'm ever the optimist. I always look at the stocking and see it half full.
I think we should check out this Grinch character. Do we know where he is?
I can look him up on this.
What's that?
It's Santa's laptop computer. I'll just call up Ebenezer J. Grinch's name from the list.
What list?
The list of all the boys and girls who are naughty and nice.
What? The one he checks twice?
The very same.
It's all done by computer?
Oh, wake up, man. This is the 21st century. Santa's hot workshop is high-tech and happening.
Tweedle, you might want to check under naughty first.
Of course, miss.
I hope this works. We have to get Papa back.
Papa?
Papa Noel.
We'll find him. That's what you're paying me for, ain't it? And I don't figure to give refunds.
Oh, I hope you're right.
I hoped I was right, too.
Oh, here it is. Let's sleigh ride.
Whoa, you're not coming.
Why not?
I'd have a tough time explaining a goblin dogging my heels.
I'm an elf.
Whatever.
I can handle myself. I've taken elf defense classes.
Ah, what the hell. I can use the company. And before you could say Rumpelstiltskin, we made our way to the headquarters of Bi-Mart and the office of the president of the company, Ebenezer J. Grinch. We had to walk through the flagship store to get to the corporate offices upstairs.
Attention, bargain hunters. We have a flashing light special in aisle 9. Delicate glass Christmas ornaments, only $1 each. So rush on over to aisle 9. No, not that fast. Back, get back. Clean up in aisle 9, please. And thank you for shopping at Bi-Mart. And remember, Christmas isn't Christmas unless you spend lots of money.
Tweedle and me made our way to the back offices. We located E.J. Grinch's office. I went to the door and heard him on the phone with some of his minions.
Make sure all stores stay open late. We begin our final media blitz in just an hour, and the rumor mills are already in action. This should convince everyone that there'll be no Santa this year. When we open, that's right, open tomorrow, bright and early. I know it's Christmas. What do you think we're doing up here? Just do as I say.
Yes, Virginia, there is a Grinch that stole Christmas.
Who are you?
Nick Fleber. I'm one of Santa's helpers.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to find Santa.
Whatever do you mean?
Knock it off, EJ. The jig's up. I know the whole scam.
How could you?
I did my homework. Snatch the fat man, make sure the workshop closes down, then an ad blitz to announce that Santa won't be coming to town, and you corner the Christmas market. Cute.
Suffering sugar plums. Is that what this is all about?
Very astute, Mr. Fleber.
Well, I'm here to take him home. So I guess that makes you a rebel without a clause.
No, oh, I'm a rich man, Fleber. How much are you being paid? I'll double it.
I can't be bought, EJ. I get expenses, too.
Nick.
Just asking.
This is very important to me, Mr. Fleber. I cannot fail. The economic health of my retail empire is in the balance because of that over-jolly threat to the capitalistic system. He'll ruin me and he must be stopped.
I hate to rain on your tirade, but your stores are jammed. Why pick on Santa?
Yes, yes, pack now. Up until the day after Christmas, then they stampede back in for refunds because Santa brought them everything they wanted. Times are hard and sales are soft. The bottom line, Mr. Fleber, is the bottom line.
All's fair in love and retail.
Christmas is only hours away. Soon little children will be waking up to barren tree bottoms and empty stockings. Their parents will make feeble excuses about Santa being late. They'll say he socked in over Oswego. He forgot his easy pass. They'll jump into their cars in desperation, and guess what?
What?
Bi-Mart stores the nation over will be there to serve their last-minute needs. And for that, they will be eternally grateful. It's brilliant! It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, after all.
Gee, Ebenezer, your tree's up, but the lights aren't on. Don't you know what Christmas really means?
Certainly, it's the highlight of our fourth quarter. Has there ever been such a Christmas?
He's babbling, Nick.
What are you, the Anti-Claus? You certainly missed the boat on this one, Ebenezer. If that's all you think Christmas is, you're sorely mistaken. There's a whole spirit, a Christmas spirit.
Oh, stop. If I can't sell at discount, it doesn't exist.
Wake up and smell the eggnog, Ebenezer. Sure, Christmas is a time to trade off gifts, but it's more. It's finding something. Something like love, for instance, that makes it all worthwhile. Gives you the moxie to go on for another year. It's an excuse for displaying a little affection once a year. It's a shared moment with people all over the world, and for that one day, at least maybe they'll realize what the whole ball of wax is about.
Not to mention the vast religious significance.
Humbug!
Humbug. He said humbug? Do people still say that?
I'm not here to sing a carol about the merits of the holiday, EJ. I'm here to free the Jolly One and be on my merry way.
I can't let you do that.
Don't make me deck the halls with you, Grinch. Just let Big Red go, and nobody gets hurt. Unfortunately, I had to hurt him. I used a couple of Tai Chi moves on him and a tire iron I keep with me just in case. Now, we just had to find the man in red, which we managed in two shakes of a reindeer's tail.
Hear that? It's him.
It's coming from that closet door. Hey, Tweedle, look, it's Santa.
You were expecting maybe the little drummer boy?
Bless my soul. Thank you, son. Who might you be?
Nick Flebber, Santa.
Flebber. Flebber. Oh, yes. You got the Dick Tracy detective set when you were 10. And some underwear, too.
Yeah. You remember that?
Oh, ho, ho, ho. A fine Santa I'd be if I didn't remember all my children. But what are you doing here, son?
Your pixies hired me to find you.
You mean the elves? They hired you?
I'm a private detective now, and I found you. And now I have to get you home.
I knew the elves wouldn't let the children be disappointed.
No, sir.
Cutting it a little close, though.
Be thankful you're not spending Easter here, sir.
Oh, that EJ has been bad before, but he really takes the fruitcake for this stunt.
You know EJ?
Oh, certainly. Over the years, I brought him enough coal to power an electric plant.
Let's get moving. It took a bit of hustle on our part, but we did it. We located the missing sleigh and flying reindeer in the garage and got him back to the North Pole in the Saint Nick of Time.
I wanted to thank you personally, Nick. That was a very brave thing you did. And a lot of children will be very happy for it.
Yeah, well, you better get going. Time and Yuletide wait for no man.
Very good! Ho, ho, ho! See you later on team! Oh, oh, oh! Merry Christmas to all!
You too, Santa. Don't take any yellow snow.
Go get him, Babbo!
Babbo?
Babbo Natale.
Mistletoe accomplished. It felt good. It felt so good, I almost considered giving the money back. Almost. After all, I got bills to pay. Looked like things were gonna be back to normal.
Hey, everybody! How does some butter cookies and hot cocoa sound? How about you, Nick? You want to stay for cookies and cocoa?
I'll be there with silver bells on. Suffice to say, I hung around for some cookies and then some cocoa. It turned into a steady gig. I'm on retainer by the Claus man himself. I guess that makes me a subordinate Claus. Santa has me do lots of background investigations. You see, Claus has this list, and he checks it twice. I have to keep tabs on who's naughty or nice. So you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. 'Cause Nick Flebber's on the case.
That was The Nick Files, The Lost Claus, the second place winner in the second annual script writing contest. And now, sorry, you've got my wrong number. The first place winner in our second annual script writing contest. Sorry, you've got my wrong number was written by Rich Orloff. Rich lives in New York, New York, and is the author of 15 full-length plays and over 70 short plays.
Open the door to danger. Open the door to terror. Open the door to a world where evil goes unpunished and where door hinges never get oiled. Open the door to Suspensorama!
Suspensorama, brought to you each week by Jerisqual, the multivitamin, multi-mineral tonic that adds iron to your bloodstream as we curdle your blood. Tonight's tale, sorry you've got my wrong number. Friends, as you go through the day, are you tired, listless, enervated, and lethargic? Do you lack pep, vim, vigor, and zest? By the time you go to bed, are you exhausted, drained, bushed, and pooped? What you need to do is start, begin, instigate, and commence each day by drinking 2 tablespoons of Jerisqual, the multivitamin, multi-mineral tonic that's guaranteed to give your body energy, power, vitality, and oomph. And now, for a limited time only, if you mail in 5 bottle caps of specially marked bottles of Jerisqual, we'll send you a free thesaurus. Impress your friends with your intelligence, cleverness, brain power, and acumen. Always get in the last word, remark, declaration, and utterance. So be smart and start each day with Jerisqual, the multivitamin, multi-mineral tonic that's guaranteed to make you feel alive and redundant. And now, sorry, you've got my wrong number.
In all my years as an Atlanta police detective, in all my years as a human being, I never found a case as fascinating as the one I'm going to tell you now. That I was personally involved in it still fills me with amazement and gratitude. I suppose the story begins in a dingy one-room apartment in the kind of bad neighborhood that gives good bad neighborhoods a bad name. According to the police interrogation, the conversation went something like this.
Do you have everything?
I got the key to the apartment, I got the gun, and I got the catnip.
Right. Now, after I meet with our client...
I'm beginning to have second thoughts about this.
You're not turning yellow, are you?
No, you know me. I wanted to be a killer ever since I was in the second grade for the third time. But
what, Gus?
But she's a poor, defenseless cripple.
The dame ain't poor. She and her husband live on Easy Street with a view of the Easy River.
Okay, so she's a rich defenseless.
She has a highly overprotective cat.
She's a helpless cripple.
So?
It's my first murder, Roy.
So?
I always thought I'd start with a no-good rat and work my way up to a helpless cripple.
Hey, we're probably doing her a favor. Stuck in a wheelchair all day. She can't do the things you and I do.
Like robbing and killing people?
Exactly.
But what if she's a good person?
She's crippled. She's forced to be good whether she wants to be or not.
That sounds so sad.
The way I see it, this is like a mercy killing, only more lucrative. So, you in or out?
I don't know. It just seems so despicable. Then again, it's 1939 and I'm broke. I guess I'm in.
Great. You hold on to the bag with the supplies. I'm going to pay a visit to our client to make sure we get the first half of our dough before he and his floozy leave to spend the night in Charleston.
The old Charleston alibi, huh?
Yeah, he's coming down with the floozy. After our meeting, I'll call you at that payphone over there.
Roy, one last question.
What?
After we shoot the old lady and watch her die, who's going to take care of the cat?
We gotta work on your attitude.
A half hour later, in a nice apartment on Easy Street.
Oh, Kitty, I'm so glad you're here. Why does Albert have to work so late, leaving me all alone?
Meow.
Well, almost all alone.
Meow.
And with the radio broken, I can't even listen to Amos and Andy, my favorite program. I'm going to call him and insist he come home. Oh, his line's busy.
Meow.
Good idea. I'll get the operator to interrupt.
Operator?
Yes, operator. I've been trying to reach my husband and his line's busy. I'm afraid it might be off the hook. Could you connect the number for me?
I'll try. What number, please?
Bovine 62491. It's so late. And I'm a helpless cripple, and it's my maid's night off, and I'm all alone. Except for my lovable little kitty.
Meow.
So, there's been a change of plans.
The motor's off?
No, it's still on. We'll meet at her apartment in 10 minutes. But our client has decided we shouldn't use the gun.
Then how do...
We strangle her, so there'll be no blood. Our client wants no blood.
He sounds very considerate.
He doesn't want to ruin the carpet.
Oh?
And then we take all her jewelry so it looks like robbery.
I have so much to learn.
So I'll meet you there in 10 minutes.
And what about the cat?
We smother it to death.
Oh, how awful. How terribly awful. Some poor woman and her cat are going to be murdered. I better tell someone.
Operator.
Yes, operator. I just asked for bovine 62491, but you connected the wrong number by mistake, and I guess the wires got crossed or something.
Do you want me to try the number again?
Oh, wait, I listened to the call.
Well, that's not nice.
I know, but they were planning a murder. Something has to be done.
What do you suggest?
Can't you connect the number again and make the same mistake?
I'm sorry, but phone company policy prevents us from making the same mistake twice.
Well, you have to trace that call. It's a matter of life and death.
Life and death?
Yes, life and death.
Okay, let me get the life and death form.
The life and death...
Here's form 21H for matters of life and limb. No, that's not
right. What difference can it make?
Form 45G. Help, we're being invaded by Martians. Form 16Y. My neighbor thinks he has the power to cloud men's minds. Form 33B. My child just swallowed a decoder ring.
Will you hurry up?
Well, here we are, Form 9W for matters of life and death.
Thank God you found it.
Now, where'd I leave my pen? I know it's around here somewhere. Anybody got a pen?
I got a pencil.
A number one or a number two?
Will you hurry? Two cold-blooded killers are planning to kill a defenseless woman and her cat before the next commercial.
They're going to kill someone tonight?
Yes.
Well, that's a different form.
I don't care about the forms.
Oh, you'd never make it as an operator.
I want to talk to your supervisor.
One moment.
Of all the incompetence.
Meow.
This is the supervisor. May I help you?
Yes, I was talking to one of your operators who was completely uncooperative.
Calm down, ma'am.
You don't understand. A cold-blooded murder is going to be committed in the next 10 minutes.
Welcome to Atlanta.
Don't you think you should do something?
I've considered moving to Richmond.
Well, I can't move to Richmond. I'm a cripple.
There are no cripples in Richmond?
Of course, there are cripples in Richmond.
Oh, are they off from Richmond?
No, but my husband's here, and my cat.
Meow.
Richmond has a low crime rate and is very friendly to cats.
Look, any moment now, there's going to be a horrible murder in this city.
Oh, let's not be so negative.
Negative?
Think of all the people who won't be murdered.
Will you stop all this blather and do something?
Ma'am, will you please watch your tone? It's not my fault the Lord decided you should be crippled.
I don't think the Lord decided to make me crippled.
So you're an atheist?
No!
You know, the phone company is a very liberal company.
Is that so?
We even had an operator in a wheelchair once.
Once?
But she had to be let go. She worked hard, but she kept wanting to use the bathroom. And her chair wouldn't fit in the stall, and it just got impossible. My boss told her, if you really want this job, just don't eat or drink anything before you come to work. What can you do? We tried. I'm not prejudiced. I even voted for FDR. And I give to the March of Dimes every year. Last year, I doubled my contribution, and I gave 20 cents.
None of this is helping me.
Oh, you're one of those bitter cripples.
I am not.
Maybe you should forget about the impending murder and pray for forgiveness.
I don't. Go to Richmond. Oh, why'd I do that? Now she'll really think I'm nuts. Oh, if only I hadn't heard that call. If only I wasn't stuck in this apartment. If only I weren't crippled. If only I had a Rottweiler instead of a cat. I'm sorry, Kitty. I didn't mean it. I wouldn't want to have anyone but you.
Meow.
Besides, you and I know what to do in case I'm attacked, don't we?
Meow.
I know what I should do. I'll call the police.
Operator.
Will you get me the police department?
Would you like your neighborhood precinct or main headquarters?
Neighborhood.
Would you like the front desk, the detective unit, or hours of operation?
I want to prevent a murder. Get me the police!
One moment. Grouch.
43rd Precinct, Detective Unit.
I'd like to report a murder.
And when did this murder take place?
In about 5 to 10 minutes.
Are you a psychic?
You don't understand. I was trying to reach my husband, but the operator got the wrong number, or the lines got messed up or something, and I overheard two men planning to strangle a woman and smother her cat.
Meow.
And she lives in an apartment with nice carpeting.
Well, thank you for sharing that information, ma'am. We'll look into it. Good night.
Wait a second. Aren't you going to do something?
Like what?
Send out patrol cars, arrest all suspicious men.
Lady, if we arrested every suspicious man in Atlanta, we'd need to use Tennessee as a jail.
Yes, but really,
and how do you know it was a local call you overheard?
I just assumed.
Maybe it was long distance. For all you know, while you're demanding the Atlanta Police Department round up every man in the city, some innocent woman and cat in Albuquerque are getting horribly murdered.
They sounded like they're from Atlanta.
Maybe they moved to Albuquerque for their health. Now, ma'am, I've got some other matters to deal with.
Aren't you going to do anything?
Would you like me to contact the Albuquerque Police Department for you?
This murder will be on your head.
That's a rather messy metaphor, ma'am.
Well, you're not willing to do anything, stupid police.
Look, lady, there are a lot of murders planned every day in Atlanta, and we prevent over half of them.
Well, why won't you prevent this one?
Because the information you've given me is so vague. Those thugs could be planning to kill anyone in this town. They could be planning to kill you.
Oh, why would they want to kill me?
Meow.
Maybe they don't like cats.
But she's a nice cat.
Do you have enemies?
No.
Not even one?
I'm a cripple. I'm lovable and non-threatening.
Really?
I'm kind to everyone. Even our good-for-nothing maid, who's so stupid, she thinks the New Deal is a card game. And my husband waits on me hand and foot, except for the 6 nights a week he works late. Of course, it is the busy season for him.
How long has it been the busy season for him?
About 6 years now.
And how long have you been a cripple?
About 6 years. You're not suggesting...
I'm just asking questions.
Very rude questions. My husband loves me. He adores me. He worships the ground I roll on.
I'm sure he loves you very...
Why, just this morning, he held my hands and told me, "Darling, I love you just as much as I did before you became a burden." He and I have a great life together when he's not coming home exhausted and...
Do the two of you have a romantic life?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sex.
I knew that.
Well, you said you didn't know what
you are the rudest man I
so
ever...
So, about your sex life,
my
ma'am.
Sex life is fine.
Do you have any problems with your maid?
My maid and I get along perfectly well. I do get a bit annoyed when she steals our silverware, but I never say anything about it because I pity her.
Is it possible she hired the killers?
On her salary, not a chance.
I see.
We have an excellent relationship. Sometimes she and I have philosophical conversations about what's more pitiful, to be crippled or part of a minority group.
Ma'am, you know what I suggest?
What?
Forget everything you heard.
That's the stupidest suggestion.
You spend most of the day ignoring that you're crippled, don't you?
Well, yes,
I'd
but...
I'd be awful if you spent every moment of every day thinking, "I'm a cripple, I'm a cripple, I'm a cripple, I'm a cripple."
I get the
I'm
point.
If I were a cripple, I think I'd spend day and night trying to forget that I was a cripple, even if I had to drink heavily.
You are the rudest individual
I'm
ever...
I'm just trying to help.
What's your name, detective?
Otto McMeasureschmidt.
McMeasureschmidt. That's an unusual name.
Well, ever since the war in Europe started, there's been a lot of ill feelings about the Germans. I thought if I added Mick to my name, I'd fit in better on the force.
That's very smart.
If the Irish ever declare themselves to be the master race, I'll take the Mick right off.
Well, Detective McMeasureschmidt, are you going to do anything to prevent this crime?
I can't think of anything I can do.
But there are two hired
Let
killers on the loose.
Let me discuss this with my partner, Gustavo Goebbels.
Oh, forget it. Oh, now why did I do that?
Meow, meow.
Maybe that's Albert. Hello?
Western Union.
Yes?
I have a telegram for you.
Well, read it.
Darling dearest, I've been trying to call you the last hour. Stop. But your line has been busy. Stop. Must go to Charleston overnight on business. Stop. I love you as much as life itself. Stop. Especially mine. Stop. Albert. Stop.
That's the telegram.
P.S. Ignore any rumors about me and a floozy. Stop. Would you like a copy delivered to you?
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, now what do I do? What do I do?
Meow, meow.
Did you hear that?
Meow.
I think I heard the front door open.
Meow.
What are we going to do?
Meow, meow.
I think the bedroom's in there.
Oh, no.
Ah, there she is. Gus, fill up the bag with jewelry. I can handle this dame.
Stay away from me unless you want trouble.
Don't waste your breath, Fanny. You don't got much
stay
left.
Stay away. I'm
shut up.
You.
Hey, lady, stop strangling my partner.
No.
Hey, lady, let go. Let go.
Thanks, Gus. Now, lady, I'm going to let go of my neck.
Let go of mine, too.
So you think you're smart, do you?
Smarter than you, huh? And I bet I exercise more, too. Yeah. Want to go another round?
Okay, lady, you asked for it. I don't care about the carpet. I'm getting my gun. Now, where's the bag?
You ready, kitty?
Meow.
Give me your tail.
Meow, meow, meow,
meow! Ah, get this cat off my face! Ah, he's ripping my face off!
It's a sheep. Good kitty.
Gustav, you take the guy with a bump on his head to the station. You men, take this creep to the hospital. I hope for his sake they have a good plastic surgeon on call.
I hate cats.
It's indeed a pleasure meeting you, ma'am.
It's a pleasure meeting you, Detective McMesserschmidt.
Call me Otto.
Otto. And you can call me Lucille.
Lucille, I'm sorry that thug's blood ruined your carpet.
That's okay. The lush pile always slowed my chair.
You know, Lucille, I'm very impressed by what you did.
Well, I do exercise regularly.
It just shows what even a crippled citizen can do with upper body strength and a good cat.
Well, not to brag, but I do have strong arms and a ferocious feline.
Meow, meow!
The two thugs got 50 years in prison. The husband got life, and the floozy ended up in Cole Porter's next musical. Lucille did pretty good in the divorce settlement, and she immediately bought new carpeting. As for me, I fell in love and ended up with the smartest, sexiest gal in Atlanta. And her cat.
You've been listening to You Heard It Here First, three original shows in OTARC's second annual script writing contest. Sorry You've Got My Wrong Number, written by Rich Orloff, is the first place winner of our 2012 contest. The Nick Files Lost Clause was written by Dan Fiorella and is our second place winner. You Don't Know Jack, written by Dave Carley, is our third place winner. You Heard It Here First has been a production of the On the Air Radio Players and is sponsored by the Henrico County Department of Recreation and Parks. The voices and sound effects artists for tonight's show have been David Bromley, Sandra Clayton, Ann Davis, Bob Double, Bob Dutton, Corey Hull, Dennis Kiker, Darlene Ligon, Beth McKenzie Moore, Randy Morrison, Kate Beers, and Pat Walker. Music was furnished by Kim Fox and Morgan Barnes. You Heard It Here First was directed by H. Lynn Smith. Production manager was Bob Dutton. Scripts edited by Bob Dutton. Tonight's sound recording engineer has been Devin Langston. Be sure to join us again November 13th and 14th as the studio audience here at the Glen Allen Cultural Arts Center for the next production of the On the Air Radio Players when we present comedy with Fibber McGee and friends. Visit our website, www.otarp.com, to learn more about the On the Air Radio Players. You'll find information on future shows, including audition and show dates. You can also download past productions, including The 39 Steps, Tales with a Twist, and Miracle on 34th Street. This is Corey Hull speaking. Good night and happy listening.